All right. We are here from the DGS studios with PA Rutt Report. With PA Rutt Rob.
You made it one. You made it one episode without an interruption.
Rutt.
Why'd you interrupt him?
Yeah, not sure.
I like our man. I like our man behind the
Oh, you wanted Timmy to do it?
The machine to do it.
Oh.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, but the man behind the curtain has a much better radio voice.
Oh.
That's okay.
Ouch.
No, but anyways,
You interrupted right in the middle. Nobody knows who we are right now. Everybody's just, who are these guys?
No, he got interrupted right in the rut.
He said, PA Rutt.
Well, you know when the rut, crazy things happen. You can't. It's all unexpected.
There you go. Training. This is subconscious training for the archery hunter.
I thought you said training.
At any rate, if anything happens during the... I know we're live right now, and that's fine. But if anything happens during the intro,
Brad,
Robbie, please refrain from interrupting me anymore.
PA Rutt Rob.
Thank you.
PA Rutt Rob.
What is
Robbie?
Going on over there?
Robbie is your name when I'm very mad at you. Oh.
Whoa, that's like some...
So, at any rate, we are PA Rutt Report. We are here, and you are here with PA Rutt Rob, PA Rutt Mike, and PA Rutt Brad.
Wait a minute. I'm not here. I'm not here.
And we have special guest.
Brother Roy.
The Woodsman.
Why is it all quiet? Episode 4. Brad, you're supposed to continue.
Because you guys screwed me up.
Oh, we took you off your game.
Yeah, you took me off my game.
You had an idea of a pace, and we broke it.
From now on, we're going to shut off Robbie's mic until 15 seconds into the podcast.
Damn it, you're here with PA Rutt Rob, PA Rutt Mike, PA Rutt Brad, and our special guest for the evening, Brother Roy.
Was it that hard, Brad?
No, but if you're willing to do it next time, go ahead.
You're 1-for-4.
I think he wanted Timmy to do it.
I was hoping Timmy would.
Because he has a better radio voice.
Yes, back. Oh, dude, we're not cutting any of that. Okay, we're not starting over.
What do you mean?
Anyways, this is episode 4. If you haven't heard episode 1, 2, and 3, we are on Podomatic.com. We're also now on iTunes, so just go to iTunes and search PA Rutt Report. You can find us there. If you listen to the last three, thank you. If you haven't,
listen to them.
Thank you, anyways. Yeah, listen to them. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. I guess we have a set list in front of us right now, and the opening day of Turkey is the first topic of discussion while I'm getting scowled at by PA Rutt Brad.
That is a scowl.
PA Rutt Brad's tired, and for good reason, but we'll get into the opening day of Turkey. Anybody hunt the opening day of Turkey in this room?
Negative here.
I was in Florida.
That's why you're grouchy. I didn't hunt the opening day of Turkey. I was up in Potter County during that time, and I saw a couple turkeys hanging from some porches on camps, and it was a great first day to be out. A little warm maybe, but hey, was what it was. So if you check out the Facebook page, we got a couple folks that have posted turkey pics. Go there. Check it out.
I had a couple guys that had successful days out Saturday, and one other guy I knew that had he went on Tuesday morning and had a successful hunt. So they are talking from what I hear. It seems like it's good. Seems like it's still in the turkey strut. I don't know what to call it. But anyway, yeah, it's still in.
We were talking about a challenge, I think, on the last podcast.
Doesn't Brad
podcast.
Have to do a turkey call?
He does. We got
no. Hell
no.
Got,
no, yeah, no, 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 no. No, it's we not a turkey lights. Call. Well, maybe it
the
is
peacock.
A turkey call.
The peacock.
It's a turkey call and a peacock and turkey strut.
Yes.
I said if the mic got, had the peacock.
If we got one like.
Did we get a like?
We got a like.
No, it wasn't one like.
Yeah,
it wasn't one like.
It was one like. You said, I don't care what we get, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Roy liked it, I think, so we're
out.
Thank
you, Roy. That's thank you.
Brother Roy.
I'm going to hand the mic to Brother Roy because we haven't heard from him yet.
I'm sorry.
We got an intro. We got an intro, Brother Roy.
Go ahead.
This is Brother Roy. He's our county woodsman at the PA Rutt Report. So he is, if you didn't see our page today, there's a picture up there of a freaking pile of morel mushrooms. Some wild asparagus and some
ramps.
ramps. A lot of people are like, what the? Most people recognize what asparagus is. Morels are strange enough looking that if you're out and about, you probably know what they look like. But the ramps are, the ramps were a question. Was it a leak or was it a ramp?
Yeah, that was it is a ramp.
It's a ramp.
What are the differences between a leak and a ramp? Roy, go ahead.
Leak is farm raised. And a ramp is wild.
Ramp is wild.
Oh, yeah. I don't know a lot about ramps. I know more about mushrooms. The ramps we just stumbled into probably, well, I don't know, about 2 years ago. And they are very delicious.
Yeah. All you, yeah, all you really, all you really have to know is that it tastes good.
Them, yeah.
And you can eat it.
And all right.
Very, and it's not going to kill you or make you sick.
Now, a lot of guys were saying, is that asparagus on there? Yes, it is asparagus. That's wild asparagus. Now, from what I understand, the birds eat the seeds from the people's gardens, correct? This is not wild to Pennsylvania, but it's wild because...
It is wild from the birds.
From the birds eating the people's seeds.
They
get on the power lines.
They poop it out.
They poop the seeds out.
It grows, so it's kind of a reproduction deal from the birds, right?
Yes, it's just mainly just what I find along the edge of fields, along the roads, farm fields out in Martinsburg, general area, just farmlands.
So this time of year right now when it's actually starting to get a little bit warm.
This time of year when asparagus is up, but the only way to find it is from the previous year when it went to seed, because it's 6 feet tall and you find the patches once they get a seed, then you hit them in the spring and you find asparagus.
Well, that is some of the best looking asparagus I've seen.
it's wild, but that's the best looking asparagus I've seen.
I looked at the picture
from the supermarkets or whatever.
It's like, man, I got to share this picture just because I saw it. The morels were like mesmerizing. I was like, But then I saw the asparagus. I was like, can you walk into Martin's and just buy 3 packs of asparagus and throw it down on there for picture's sake? I was like, no,
he wouldn't do that.
No. And then I looked up wild asparagus, and that's wild asparagus.
Yep, that's what
pretty amazing.
So where do you find the wild asparagus for these people that want to know? Where do you find the wild asparagus?
Not in the woods. Go out in the country and drive a back road and look on the berms of the roads between the fields, the cornfields, and the blacktop. There's always a strip of grass.
And wild asparagus will grow there.
Sometimes.
You know, look in the fall. Sometimes asparagus. Find out what it looks like when it's the seed. Go back in the spring and you'll find it. And you can pick off of it for a month and a half to 2 months.
That's pretty amazing.
As long as you keep picking. If you quit picking, it goes to seed and it quits growing.
There you go.
That's very interesting.
Don't follow Brother Roy. There's a PA report rule. There's a reason why we are calling him Brother Roy and not calling him by his full name. Because if you do follow him, there might be repercussions.
There might be repercussions.
Especially when it comes to morels.
The
asparagus.
Morels will never keep up with me. You can try.
Getting to the key point of the conversation, which seems to drive everybody wild, and I can understand why, it's the morel mushroom. Where do you find them? What time of year and why? Basic overview. Don't say where you're finding them.
I wouldn't tell anybody where I'm finding them, just in the woods. I mean, you just got to go out and walk around. Spend time in the woods. You got to know your trees. They grow on, I don't know, various different trees. Mainly the elm tree in our area. Poplar trees, pear trees, apple trees.
So you find them.
But mostly dead, right?
Mostly dead or dying trees.
Yeah.
Yes.
You find them at the base of these trees.
Wherever the root system is on the tree. Yeah. They come off the root system. And a tree will typically only make morels 3 to 5 years.
Oh, yeah?
And then they're done. I mean, I have spots where I used to pick coolers and coolers full, and I can go there now and not find a single mushroom because there's no trees.
So in theory, you could go back to the same spot and find the same batch, rudimentarily the same batch of mushrooms in the same spot. Three to five years. So, if you've never eaten a morel, like PA Rep Mike is like, we looked at a bucket full of morels earlier, like real morels. Roy had some in his truck, and we were like, And Pierre Red Mike was like,
"Are they still in his truck?
What the hell?
No.
I got to go to the bathroom.
They're locked up." Now, listen, our last podcast, we talked about fake Morels. And, like, since Brother Roy's, like, the expert, so what is a fake Morel?
Oh, a fake Morel, they call it a false Morel. It's similar texture to a Morel, but it doesn't look anything like it. I mean, it looks similar, a little bit similar to it, but if you know what a Morel looks like, you can't mistake it.
And if you eat it, it makes you sick. Does it make you sick?
I've never
maybe.
Eaten one. I mean,
I've never eaten one either.
I know it's a false Morel. I'm not gonna eat it there.
It would probably make you sick. I don't say it would kill you or anything. It might make you. How would you say it, Pierre Rob? Poop.
Poop. Yeah. Only birds. Only birds poop. Asparagus.
We were talking about an instance where a guy that I know cannot eat Morel mushrooms. He gets sick. That happens to some people, right?
Oh, most definitely. There's
is that our
people that could eat Morels for 20 years and then all of a sudden they can't eat them anymore because they make them sick.
What is that? Do you know what that is in there that makes them sick, or is just your body rejecting it?
I know what it is. It's the government.
It's government.
The government's got to put a freeze on people at some point in time in regards to eating mushrooms. Otherwise, they're not making money off of them.
Yeah, is that a false Morel we have on the screen right now?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, that does not
look good. It's the same texture. A false Morel, another thing, a false Morel is solid on the inside. Morel is hollow.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's one good way to tell.
False Morel looks like a looks like an old lady's hand.
Think about
what an old lady's hand looks like. And then think about what else looks like an old lady's hand.
Bunched in a fist?
In a fist, yeah. It's a little arthritic.
Okay.
So, yeah. No, if you've never eaten a Morel, really,
do yourself a favor. You can tell what a false Morel is compared to a Morel.
The Morels, the black, the...
There is grays, blacks. Yeah. There's two different kinds of blacks. There's browns. There's we call them footballs, the yellow ones. Because they get the size of footballs.
The yellows are... I mean, that's pretty much... I don't think I've ever... Well, I can't say I've ever not ever eaten a black Morel, but most of the time I eat yellow Morels. Whether they're given to me or I find them, they're mostly yellow.
Most of the yellows around here grow in the elms, and the blacks mainly grow on poplar trees, live poplars, big standing stands of poplars, like 150, 200-year-old poplars, and you'll find the black ones. They're almost... I don't know how to say it, translucent, like a black, but sort of clear. They're different looking than a regular yellow Morel.
No, they got to be dead standing, live poplars.
And they will make every year for the rest of our lives. And as long as you don't cut the tree down, they'll make.
Note to self, don't cut down that poplar tree. If you're thinking about it, you just got the problem's now solved for you. If you're going out to hunt Morels, they're in right now, they're up right now, how long are they going to last, in your opinion, based on how the weather's progressing into warmth?
My opinion, I just tell everybody right now, I just stay out of the woods. They probably ended today. I mean...
straight from the mouth of Brother Roy.
Especially in the Blair County area.
No. Yeah, there's no reason to follow Brother Roy anymore because there's no point looking for him.
If you see me parked along the road, I'm just getting minis to go fishing. But now I'd say the Morels, you got another good week. They're just starting. I mean, I went out tonight and picked three bags full, but I really wasn't hunting. I was just picking them, but... I don't know. Next weekend, maybe the middle of next week, they'll be done. We need rain.
We've got a little bit today.
Rain and cooler weather, right? We need rain and cooler weather.
We need to cool down.
What, I read somewhere they start growing when it stays about 40 degrees at night. Between 40 and 60 degrees during night and day, they start growing then. Is there relevance to that?
Yeah, there is. And you need, I'd say, 50 degree nights. And another thing I look at is the magnolias. If you know what a magnolia is, a magnolia tree, when they're in full bloom, there's a Morel in the woods up somewhere. That's just one thing I've noticed. And
key.
That is a good tip for all you Morel hunters
out
there.
Preach it, Brother Roy.
But
preach it.
If you know what the Merlot magnolia tree looks like.
That's pre-scouting for let them grow. If you go out early season, you find a bunch of little ones, size of a quarter. Don't pick them. Let them there.
Nobody likes
them. They're not going anywhere, right? They're not running.
Unless somebody else picks them.
No, you just... What do? You just fence that off, put post-it on it, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't listen to them post-it signs.
No.
Especially when it comes to morel mushrooms.
Yeah. Post-it right on the tree.
Post-it.
Picking mushrooms on the post-it.
No hunting, trespassing, fishing, or morel picking.
So, in it being prime morel season, prime, pretty much prime picking season for any of our natural resources out there to grab and
minerals,
and take off
rocks,
whatever it is,
salt
off of the land, anything off of the land. The springtime is the prime time to do it. You have ramps, right?
Yeah, ramps. Ramps are. I'm gonna say I'm only 2 years into it, so they've got ramps, asparagus, and morels right now.
But the ramps, we haven't talked about those yet. I don't know anything about them. They're very leafy top.
Very leafy top, sort of like daylilies or something growing in your garden, sort of what they look like in the woods.
Okay.
And if you see a patch of them in the woods this time of year, they come on real early. They come on 3 weeks to a month before the mushrooms do.
And how long do they last?
They're almost over, probably another 2 weeks, and they'll be over.
So this is the prime season to pick. But what about the asparagus? Same deal?
Asparagus, you can pick for 2 months, as long as you keep picking the same patch every 2 days.
Okay, okay.
3 days.
Alice, sub note to what we're talking about right now, while you're out doing this, you should get out and do it. Also do a little bit of spring scouting. There's a lot you can tell in relation to the movement of bucks on your property based on last year's sign. You look for rubs, you look for scrapes, you look for markings on trees, you look for trails. Pretty much you can tell at least what's been in that area and what probably will be in that area over the next hunting season.
Well, I went out looking a little bit today in a different spot than, you know, than I normally look, and there were a lot of deer tracks around here and there, and I think that they ate the morels that I was looking for because I didn't find any. But I mean, I'm gonna blame
it
on the deer. I'm gonna blame it on the deer. But,
it was the deer.
It was the deer. But I saw a lot of tracks out there and a lot of good sign for deer, and now's the time to do it whenever the ground's soft and the foliage isn't always all in the trees. And
there are still a lot of acorns, laying around.
Well, they're probably all filled with worms and nasty.
If you walk around, you look at an acorn, they're sprouting. If you've never seen an acorn while you're out hunting morels and leeks and rakes and what the birds poop out, asparagus. Take a look at the acorns that are laying at your feet. It's interesting to watch them, how they grow, where they grow into. Reach down, pick one up, and try to pull the root out. It's pretty cool. If you have a kid, take the kid out, let him pick one up, let him see what's
happening.
Take the kid out.
Or if you're PA Rep Rob or PA Rep Mike, take Brad out.
It's basically the same thing.
It is. Oh, I'm getting a scowl now.
Oh, you are.
Oh, what was that noise? I heard a noise.
Anyway, so we didn't touch base really on the opening day of turkey.
Sure we did.
A little bit, but we didn't go out and hunt, Mike, but you are heading out here on Friday.
Friday. Okay. I'm going to put it up there like this. If I don't bring a bird in on Friday on public, I'm going out in state game lands. It's not because of the person that I'm hunting with. It's because I really suck at turkey hunting.
At least you admit it.
I'll admit it.
Oh, man, those Coca-Colas. I'll tell you what, they really make a lot of noise.
Ice cold.
They really make a lot of noise.
How's come I'm the only guy sitting here without a Coke?
Well,
share.
They're in there.
Always Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
Are
we promoting Coca-Cola now?
Did you see? Did you see how Coca-Cola promotes now, where they put?
I don't think
we're
allowed to do that.
Did you see where they put people's names on the sides of the bottles?
Yeah, I don't think we're allowed to do that.
Well, PA Rep Mike, we can call him Bush from now on the rest of the night. Go ahead, Bush.
Nice. Thank you.
I thought he was on
that.
The back of a Gallagher's milk cart.
And he is a pounder. He is a pounder, that PA Rep Mike.
That's like one of them bass I caught this weekend.
Missing.
But
At any rate, so you're going out on Friday hunting some turkey.
I'm going to hunt state game lands.
I'm going to go out on Saturday. I'm hoping to go out. I'm hoping I don't even hunt, but if I have to, I'm going to hunt. But I'm hoping to film one of my buddies out there doing something. I'm hoping to maybe find a guy that wants to not hunt and film me. So we'll see what happens. But hopefully we'll have a video or two next week for you gotta
clarify
whether it be
you gotta clarify for the listeners what it is that your buddy will be doing.
Well, he's gonna be filming me, or I'm gonna film him hunting.
I'm sure they get that, but one of you is going to be sitting at the base of a tree making calls, monitoring.
Yeah, I mean, no. Whether it be he's sitting behind me in the back calling or whatever's going on, I'm not sure.
This is going like completely.
No, yeah, I feel like I'm confusing you with that question.
Yeah,
I don't know. Oh, yeah, no, I don't know what you're asking me.
I got you. Okay, it's turkey season for the non turkey hunter myself. I've been a hunter for a long time. I don't hunt turkey. Never have.
Yeah.
What's the process? You sit down at the base of a tree and you grab a turkey call and you make a couple squawks.
Well, I think what the deal is, you try and locate him in the morning, first thing in the morning, before it gets completely laid out. You're going to hit the call and then you're going to set up on whatever you hear. Hopefully you hear one talk back to you. And you're going to set up on that turkey that you're trying to, or those turkeys that you're trying to hunt that are roosted. I think the big deal is like on Friday night, I'm going to go out. My son has baseball practice. After that, I'm going to go out with him, and try and put him to bed, as they call it. I'm going to hit the call and, see where they're located at. On what ridge they are, and then I'm going to back out and go back in there on Saturday morning and set up. I'm going to set up if I can hear them. I'm going to set up and try and hunt there. So I'm very new at turkey hunting, so it's all an experience for me.
What kind of call are you going to use to roost them? Because that's what you call it. You call it roosting, not really putting them to
bed. I've used just regular, just a box call to
he's a pro.
To hear him.
He's a pro?
Yeah.
He's a pro, a mouth caller. Oh, come on.
Yeah. What is this mouth call? I want to hear it.
I can't. Nah.
Listen, dude, because I'll take you out Friday.
This is not
the last
happening.
Podcast.
This is
the
not
last
happening.
Podcast we said if we made a post about turkey hunting, and we got one like that.
Which we did.
You would do a turkey call on YouTube. You
this
said
is
it.
Not
you
right.
Said, we'll do you. We can go back. We can replay the footage.
You can replay the footage if you want to.
You're gonna do. You're gonna do it. You're gonna do PA Rutbrad's turkey mouth call. You were like pop pop. Remember?
That's
remember? Do you remember now?
That's pretty good.
Remember what
it was?
Similar
to
you
that,
probably
yeah.
call. You probably put one to bed with that. Probably put one to bed with that.
So you're going to do that. You're going to do that. You're going to do the turkey strut, which is a physical walk.
No.
Walks.
And
yeah. And
the peacock.
No, the peacock strut is going to be the best one because you'll have to research that.
I said, and I will document this on the last podcast, that if
he's
going to
get he's going to get pipe cleaners and crate paper and he's going to make feathers that he can puff out
arts and crafts time yeah.
But Mike's
going to
do
report.
The peacock.
How
he
am
said,
I getting
he's the one that does
this.
A peacock
How?
Call.
I use a peacock call.
It's not even native to Pennsylvania.
Them. It doesn't matter.
Peacock.
Peacock.
I'm not even sure how that sounds.
You didn't like, Google like that?
The peacock?
We're you
have
were just
Google
down
right
at Disney
now.
For like a week, dude. They didn't
Thank
have peacock
we have a DJ guru here.
We're getting way off track.
We're getting, yeah.
We're way
getting
off track.
We are getting way
so
off
anyway,
track.
So anyway, Brad, are you hunting on your private ground that you deer hunt on?
Yes.
Or are you hunting on?
Yes, okay, I'm hunting on private ground, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and you,
nobody
you,
should have messed with these birds yet, but, well, you know, you never know. With
somebody else could have put him to bed already.
They
might be
bed,
a little bit more.
Just hunting them already.
Warm,
so.
Warm for that form.
You could have had some damn mushroom hunter in there just screwed everything.
That's true.
Up. I mean,
I don't think they blow them. I don't
I
think
screwed,
you blow
I
turkeys out.
Oh, I screwed a few turkey hunters up. And they
As they were turkey hunting.
Yes, and they give them
oh, yeah.
mad.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's I'm going
hunting,
in there.
And,
I mean.
See, I like to go out and just, I get a mushroom hunting, and I might take the shotgun with me certain
There you
places.
Go. There you go.
What if I happen to see a turkey? Then I might chase after it, but if not, I just pick mushrooms.
Well, that's
you don't
the whole
need
thing
to declare. You don't need to chase after. You just need to do the PA Rut Brad mouth call.
Anyway,
please.
That's the great thing about the spring yes. is you can go out there with a shotgun, hunt turkeys in the morning.
Yep.
Hunt morels, mm-hmm. fish in the afternoon. Hunt
oh, yeah.
morels again.
I'm fishing all day.
It's awesome. It's an awesome
now,
time of year.
Hey,
awesome time
I,
of year.
I will
time.
Say to get back kind of on track. That I think there's some guys that are well on their way for the PA Triple Trophy this year.
There are. I forget what the dude's name. The young guy.
There it is. There it is.
Is that a peacock?
That is a peacock call. Let's
play it again right now.
That sounds like you anyways.
Now listen. Jeez. I might get in trouble for giving that secret up. But I'm not going to lie to you. But the peacock call, it gets birds gobbling, man. You will locate birds with this call just because it's obnoxious and they get that agitated, something's going on. Because you get all these dudes who go out there with their crow calls and they're, you know what I mean? And they're like,
their peacock calls.
They're blowing their crow calls and it's like they're doing it 3 weeks before turkey comes in. And then you get out there and the turkeys are shut up because.
Well,
if
I was
hey,
a turkey.
Here comes Bob driving down the road. Yeah, he's
I was
blowing
a turkey
his crow
and I heard
call
a
again.
Peacock out there. I'd be like, what the hell's a peacock doing in Pennsylvania? What are we doing out
here?
Hey,
Jim, is that what I think
is that,
that
a peacock?
Is that what I think
hey,
it is?
Hey, Tom. Tom, is that a peacock?
I'm sorry, Smokey. You were over the line. That's a foul.
At any rate. So
are you going
anyway,
to use decoys?
Anyway, I'm going
to go. Are you going to use decoys?
I don't have decoys.
Brad is a decoy.
I offered some to you earlier.
Okay, well.
You want my peacock call?
No, I don't want your peacock.
He wants your peacock. He wants the peacock
I
decoy. Was,
listen, I had no problem offering you my peacock call.
I think I have better
call.
Luck going, peacock, peacock, peacock.
The truly skilled turkey hunter uses a flamingo call. Brad.
Ooh,
but you're like 5 years off of that, probably.
Five or six.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to use decoys. The guy that I might have come hunt with me, or I might film him hunting, he has decoys. If he doesn't come, I'm just going to use my box call and try and have at it. I'm not a big turkey hunter, but I'm going to try and
you're going to try
one.
To get him in bed.
I'm going to try and kill one.
Try to get Tom in bed with him.
Try to get Tom in bed.
Put him in the bed. That's the thing I've been looking at on the
Listen to that. Hold on. That's the whole thing about, you know, if you're not a man if you don't have a beard, right, Brad?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So is that like – that should be like an attraction. That should be like an attraction for Brad. Turkeys have beards. Could you imagine if
it's
bucks
national,
had beards?
National.
Some hens have beards.
It's natural camouflage.
Yeah.
I mean, the hairier you are.
The ticks can really bed deep in there. And
that's right. You won't even know
he
it.
He just segued into like a whole other segment.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Permethrin. This is a plug for Permethrin. Get it at your local dog. No. Yeah. That's the name of the stuff that you put on your clothes prior to going out in the field that is supposed to keep them off you.
And if you're going name brand because you didn't want to go on
Sawyers.
Amazon like you had said
Sawyers. Sawyers. Brother Roy. Brother Roy's
so,
giving
hold
us
on,
a thumbs
Roy,
up.
Here you go.
What were we talking about there?
Well, to preface this part of the conversation, not only is Brother Roy a...
I had some guy say that he was out in a hazmat suit.
Avid.
Hazmat. That would work.
That's what he said.
Keep the ticks
on
off.
Facebook, he had a hazmat suit. Keeping the ticks away from him while he was mushroom hunting.
Get
which I can
bed.
See, that works.
Gets
but,
that bed.
However.
Gets that bed.
You gotta have a camo hazmat suit?
Yeah. It's Morel. It's Morel camo. So they don't see him coming. No, Brother Roy is a avid outdoorsman, hunting, fishing, camping, hiking. But
he also
what I was getting to.
Cutting timber.
He also is a timberman, so he's out there all the time.
Every day. We spray down. We spray down with Sawyer every day.
Sawyer, yep.
You don't have to do it every day, but we do it. They say not to get under your skin. I don't know. I get a little bit on this.
Yeah. You lather up. You lather up with that stuff.
I'll deal with that over Lyme disease because I know people with Lyme disease, and that's terrible.
Oh, it's nasty.
Pennsylvania.
Oh, I don't see you bubbling up or anything like that.
I don't understand where they all come from.
No hot dog leg.
When I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Get the crutches.
How many ticks were there?
No, there weren't a lot.
Barely any.
Not at all.
Now you go in the woods, you can pick. 2 weeks ago, I went mushroom hunting. Just scouting. And 45-minute walk, I picked 60 to 80 off my pants.
Yep.
And a 45-minute walk.
It's the government.
The darn government.
It's that government.
What happened to all, you know, you used to see all these, I always hear stories about the mosquito sprayers going through town spraying bugs. Why can't we It's do something about ticks, these ticks, yeah. estate yeah. or something.
Something. I mean, I agree.
They do stuff for the gypsy moths, and I mean.
Oh, the ticks are 10 times
that's
worse.
That's just killing trees. I mean, yeah. Lyme disease is killing people every day. Yeah,
I saw an article the other day we're spraying for black flies the other day on a few streams. So
black flies.
We will touch base on all that.
We're talking about black flies.
We'll touch base on ticks. We'll touch base on a lot of different things whenever we come back. We have to take a break right now. Thank you for tuning in for the first half of PA Rut Reports
episode four.
Podcast.
Thank you,
episode
Brad.
Four.
Episode and four.
We will be back. Stay tuned. Thank you very much.
Back in the wild again, and I feel right at home where I belong. I had that feeling.
All right, we're back. PA Rut Report. Back from the break. PA Rut Rob. PA Rut Mike. Brother Roy.
Brother Roy.
PA Rut Brad.
I like Brother Roy.
Brother Roy.
Brother Roy, you Brother can Roy. Any time to hang out with us, man. You can, seriously.
You can think of our podcast like a series of novels. He'll be a recurring character throughout the chapters and life cycles of what it is that we're trying to do here. But, yeah, Brother Roy will be back a couple episodes here in the future talking about the kind of same kind of stuff we're talking about today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's our man in the field.
Well, what we're going to start with, I believe, would be a good topic would be land management because it's the springtime and everybody's thinking about deer, food plots, mineral licks, hinge cutting. Different things that help better your property for the upcoming season. So we're going to touch base on that. I have yet to put up my mineral licks.
Slacker.
I have sites that I have done the same thing every year on, and it's basically just salt on stumps, salt and ground that I tore up that a deer visit frequently. But the hinge cutting and stuff like that I have yet to get into, which I am going to get into this year. So maybe we could all elaborate a little bit more on that, ask questions, and talk about it. We have a two land management specialists here. So
land management.
Mike, you're taking your QDMA yes. online degree right now, are you not?
Yes, I am in the Deer Stewardship 1 course online because it is a lot cheaper than doing it in person. And
so are you still a fawn?
I'm a fawn.
Yeah.
I'm a fawn.
All right.
You're a fawn. I have my
You're
spots
not a button. You're not yet a button buck.
Well, my buttons are showing. My buttons right, are showing.
Good.
You know, maybe next year I might be. You know,
they at least
a
they at least know you're a male. That's
they
good.
Know.
That's
look,
good.
Yes. Hey, I did see this really cool thing on Facebook. It said it was like, do you know what the cheapest kind of meat is? And it was like, what? Deer nuts are under a buck. That was kind of funny.
Ooh. It took me a second to get it. I was like, well, wait. Ah.
But
anyway.
No, now's the time, and it was actually cool because we met a little earlier, and I was talking with Brother Roy.
Did you forget his name?
Listen, one too many coats tonight. Brother Roy.
Brother Roy. Bush, don't worry, Bush. It's been a long night.
It's been a long night. But no, we had a good conversation because, you know, now's the time, you know, I'm all about, you know, getting your ground turned up, getting the food plot started, you know, what kind of seed are you using, you know, are you getting your soil tested? There's a lot of work to be put involved. And my aspect of it, I like to grow bucks, but I also like to have a healthy herd, you know, and then ties in with the mineral. I don't mind putting mineral out. A lot of guys will get frustrated with, oh, we're handing something off. A lot of guys get frustrated with because they're like, oh, I got so many pictures of doe on my mineral lick. Well, you know, for lactating does, when they start fawning and stuff, the mineral is actually a good enhancement for healthy deer. I like the whole herd to be healthy.
It's like Enfamil for your old lady, for those that are out there that have had kids. There you go.
Yeah, nice. I don't know. Yeah, you need a healthy herd. I mean, what, you plant your food plots, you put, I put minerals out. We don't put a lot out. We put salt licks. Sorry, guys. I'll hold a little bit closer here. Screwed up a little. It's my first time. Sorry. First
That's
time.
What
Virgin
she said.
Here. Virgin here. All right. I don't know. We've been in food plots for 4 or 5 years. It's made a big difference on our land. And help me out here, Mike.
What's that?
With the food plots here.
With food plots? Oh, food plots are basically, I mean, honestly, they're sustainability. Deer in Pennsylvania have a hard time. We are not, in the area we're in, we're not an agricultural mecca where we don't have 1 mile by 1 mile fields of soybeans and corn. So the deer actually...
We got mountains.
We have mountains. We so have the mountains. Deer are eating browse, yes. Which is sustainability. It's not enhancement. And what we try to do is, and some of the pictures you showed me, I mean, you're showing some nice food plots for...
Oh, yeah.
Well, health, I mean, of the herd.
We're just messing around with it. We're never like, professionals at it. We go out, we turn the ground up, we put seed in, we do our soil samples, which that's the most important key, I'd say, is soil samples.
I agree.
You got to know what the pH of the ground is, what fertilizer you need, and that's the first step. To
so you just don't throw and grow out there, and hopefully it helps out.
Yeah, if you put fertilizer out without the pH being up where it's supposed to be, the plants can't take the nutrients up. Because the pH isn't high enough.
Well, they're either going to be acidic or alkaline. Oh, I mean, it's one or the other, and plants are going to respond differently. And the deer are going to eat different things at time of the year. I mean, you know, you're in the woods all the time. When the acorns drop, the deer will leave soybings. They will leave corn. They will leave everything.
This year. It happened to us this year.
To go to acorns.
We had a bumper crop of acorns, and our food plots went dead.
Exactly. And when the acorns...
Dead.
A lot of guys get on this kick, too, though, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but a lot of guys will get on the kick, like, they'll be into late November, and they'll be like, oh, you got to hunt where there's acorns. Well, those acorns have lost their nutrient value. The deer are gone.
Yeah.
Once they get warm, well, you know, guys will call it wormy, but once those acorns lose the nutrient value, the deer aren't eating them anymore.
That's when they go nothing... back to your food plots.
Exactly. And actually, something that I've read, and I haven't tried it yet, but if you do some TSI or some hinge cutting at that time of the year and you drop some fresh browse and some fresh leaves down to the deer's available area, you will actually be able to pull some deer into an area with certain things that, oh, hey, what's this doing here?
I log for a living. I cut timber for a living, and we do a lot of selective cutting, TSIs, timber stand improvements, and I notice a lot. I mean, we start cutting trees down in the spring when the buds are on them, and even in the wintertime, middle of January, February, we go back in and we have fresh deer tracks everywhere. I mean, just where we were cutting at. I mean, we're probably in there cutting every day, and the deer 60 yards away laying there watching us just can't wait to get in there to eat that browse off.
They know it. I mean, and honestly,
fresh tracks all the time.
I'm telling you, if you take a chainsaw in the woods, if you fresh cut, say you did a little bit of cutting and you got to the point where you set a stand up, I guarantee you, if you went in there in the morning and cut those trees, if you went back and hunted that in the evening, no matter what you, if you smelled just like you were when you were in there cutting, those deer would be in there feeding on that.
Oh, I guarantee it. I mean, that's another thing about scent control. I'm like, I smell like a chainsaw, gas and oil, boots and whatnot. You're in there just traipsing around all day, and then you leave for 6-7 hours and come back next work in the morning and fresh deer tracks.
Because it's not a threat to the deer.
No.
Nothing has hurt them. It's like riding a four-wheeler through the woods. You can ride a four-wheeler all you want or drive a buggy or whatever. As soon as you start shooting deer off of a four-wheeler, or as soon as you start shooting deer when you smell like a chainsaw, then they will associate that with the, oh man, look, I can't hang out here because guess what? Dude's, no, he's not really cutting wood. He's going to shoot me.
Well, most definitely. I mean, I'm in the woods every day of my life and I see a lot of stuff out there and I know the deer, they like fresh browse. And
they love it.
I cut trees down every day and
yep,
there's deer there every day.
I know. Yep. I know we talked a little bit about, you know, you were getting your food plots ready and stuff. How many different types of food are you guys planting for through the year process?
We plant probably 3 to 4 times a year. We do a lot of clover and alfalfa early in the spring. We'll do we have a couple old logging roads we disc up and we plant that mostly in like a no plow. We use that from the Whitetail Institute. And this year we're trying biologic, which is we're gonna go with the New Zealand clover. It's we got 3 acres worth of seed we're gonna put out. We're turning in our old Whitetail Institute plots and putting New Zealand clover in, and we'll see how it'll do. And then July and August rolls around, we'll be putting in turnips and brassicas, winter oats, and that's about it. We got some new stuff. I'm not sure what it is. I just seen the bag. I know it's a bunch of beans.
Do you?
My buddy bought the seed, and we're gonna plant it. We're gonna put it in the ground.
Do you guys frost seed at all?
We haven't. I've read a lot about it, and frost seeding's a good thing. I think. I mean, that would be good for.
I do. So.
I've never done it. I mean.
On a clover patch?
Yeah, for thin spots.
Yeah.
You wait till that frost, the ground gets all jagged, you throw that seed in there, and then when it melts, it gets right back down to the ground.
Because you can get, depending on the clover that you use in the area, and your pH levels, you can actually get up to, like, I'll say a maximum of 5 years on a clover plot.
Yes.
With frost seeding.
Oh, yeah.
Where you know, and that's, for some guys, that's a good thing to do, because now you're talking about a sustainable food plot for 5 years. Up to five years, but you know, you out your frost seed, you do a little bit of work, you know, it takes work. You got to brush hog it, you know, you get up, you get the flowers, and you know, I try to keep mine between 8 and 10 inches, cut it 8 and 10 inches, and but just there's a lot of information out there too about food plots.
Do you do any spraying at all? Spraying for weeds?
No.
I don't
have the equipment.
We have homemade equipment out of just copper tubing and some solder, and
that sounds like moonshine still.
Nozzle tips from Tractor Supply, and it's a 20-gallon spray unit I picked up from somebody's garbage.
Nice.
Old tank, and we made a spray unit for the back of our UTV, and it's about a five foot wet spray, and we get, they have sleigh and arrest from the Whitetail Institute. The sleigh is a broadleaf.
Right.
Herbicide, and the arrest is for grass.
Right.
You spray both different intervals, and I mean, it kills everything but the clover and alfalfa.
I've used arrest before on other food plots and other properties. It does. It definitely does. It
kills every bit of grass and doesn't hurt what you got going.
I agree. Good. I mean, there's a lot of work involved with food plots. I mean, you can go out and you can go to Walmart. I'll just say it. You can buy a bag of throw and grow for $10 and you can go out there and throw it out and you can get pissed off at yourself. Oh, I'm sorry. Not allowed to say that. You can get upset because
this is okay.
Okay. Because you spent $10 on a bag of throw and grow. But if you actually put the time in and do a little bit of work, you can actually get that throw and grow to be productive. I did it as a test on one of my properties that I hunt, and what I did was I found an opening in the canopy where it got 3/4 of the day had sunlight.
That's perfect, yeah.
I went in, I tilled it up. I sprayed it first with just some Roundup. I bought everything at Walmart. Sprayed it with Roundup, let it die. Went in, tilled it up, sprayed it again, and then I planted my throw and grow. Tamped it down so it made seed to soil contact, which is very important.
Very important.
If you just throw seed on the ground and it's good contact,
we call to pack everything or drag it with a 4-wheeler, and
that's the way to drag it.
You got to get the seed into the dirt.
It has to make contact.
Pray for rain.
Yes. And then what I do is I bought it was like a straw matting that I bought, put over the top. I did it planned on the rain, and I planted it actually when they said it was supposed to rain for a day or two. And I have two beautiful little food plots that, you know what, deer are coming through and they're hitting.
Oh, they're gonna, if you put it in the woods there, and it's, they're gonna eat it.
You can either eat leaves.
If you plant it, they will come.
It's true though, man.
It's nice, lush and green. And I mean, you walk by, you're like, oh, look at that.
Well, and the crazy thing is, and you probably know as well as I do, like, you know, how to do a palatability test for different broadleafs and stuff, and for what a deer is able to chew on.
You say, you know, palate.
Palatability.
Palatability.
Yes.
It's a hard word to say.
It is. Especially
try,
when...
Try,
Brad.
Palatability.
You said it real fast. Say it slower. Say it a little slower.
I'm good. I'm good. You guys keep talking.
No, I mean, honestly, I'm learning a lot here. If you take a leaf
you.
And you pull it off of a plant and you start chewing on it, it takes you more than 3 to 5 times to chew it up where it actually breaks apart. A deer is generally not going to eat that because it's not palatable.
Better make sure it's not 3 leaves or you'll have an itchy mouth.
Well, you know, if you don't know the difference between poison ivy and what you're picking, like, I'm just saying, like, but no, and different things, like different types of clover. I mean, I like soybeans. Soybeans are very productive for antler growth, but soybeans are tough to grow on a mountain. Say you have mountain ground. They're tough to grow. So you have to, I mean, you have to kind of base your food plots on what your goals are, and your goals can be. If you want to grow big bucks with, you know, lots of mass and lots of time length, you're going to spend a lot of money and time.
Lots of money.
You're going to have to let a lot of deer go, and you're not going to be able to shoot some deer, and it's going to be rough. If you're trying to get an average of 100 to 130-inch deer, where 130-inch deer is big, you can do it, but food plots are – you have to figure. A deer generally – including the age of 3.5, 90% of what he's putting in his body is going to his bone structure and not his antlers. When he hits that 4.5-year-old age, now you're going 90% is going to his rack, and only 10% is going to his bone body. Because his bone is done growing. It's just like a human. You have a child that grows up to a certain point, our bones stop growing and like our guts start growing out. You know what I mean? It's the same thing with deer. And food plots actually make a big difference on what you're trying to do, and I like what you're doing on your property.
It does. It makes a big difference. I mean, we've only been in for 4 years, and I started with my grandfather, and about 4 years ago, and he planted about 1 acre of ground, and we turned in old farm fields, and we're up to 12 acres of food plots right now, and
that's a lot of food plots.
It's a lot, and it's made a big difference. I mean, we're managing the bucks. We're not shooting the little bucks. I'm not saying little. We have my cousins, nephews. They shoot the little bucks. They shoot the 3 points, the 4 points, the spikes. You know, that's good for a kid to shoot.
You know, them little keeps them interested.
Yeah, good for your property
most
too.
Definitely. My little cousin shot a doe. We watched for. She was 7 years old this year. Oh. And we called her. My pap called her horny because she has one horn.
A doe with one horn. Do you have pictures of this deer?
I do have a picture of it, and I will post it.
Thank you, because I want that. That's
my,
cool.
My little cousin shot it, and him and my grandfather both they watched it out of his big tree stand, and they both looked at it even through the spotting scope, and they said, "Nope, that's not horny," because we always let her go.
Right.
Well, he took her down and ended up being horny, and they didn't see the horn.
Ooh.
But she was a 7-year-old deer, and she raised a lot of triplets and twins there.
Are you into fawn recruitment at all? Do you pay attention to what fawns you're getting off certain does? Because you have a managed property, so you kind of know what does are in what areas.
Just for clarification purposes, she was in fact horny.
Oh, she was. And the crazy thing about her horn, it never lost the velvet.
I'm gonna keep quiet.
It always kept the velvet. A furry horn all year round.
Seriously, it kept the velvet all the time.
All the time.
So she didn't rub it off at all?
No, didn't rub it off or nothing. And when he shot her, it was a velvet horn, and it was in rifle
season. That's interesting. Just from a deer perspective, like, because, you know, you'll have hens that'll grow beards and turkeys.
Yeah, and there's does that'll grow horns.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
It's the only one I've ever seen.
This is the first time I've heard of it. So it's actually, I'm interested to see the picture.
My neighbor, when I was younger, I was about 10 years old, I can remember, his son shot a 6-point in rifle season. All velvet, doe.
Is this the sheep farmers that live out near you?
No.
Okay, I was just wondering. I was like...
But anyway, let's...
I tell you what I want to see. My goal now, as a hunter is. Wait for it. My goal now as a hunter is to shoot a doe with a package. Once that happens,
package on the head.
Are you
or
done hunting? Once
if
that
it's
happens,
a package down a package below. Down it below. Can't be a.
It can no, be a doe.
It can't, the same it can't be.
How can you have it? That's what I'm looking for. The government will make it happen.
Oh, the government might make it happen.
All right.
That's why no one will remember your name.
No, but to go along with Brother Roy, like honestly, food plots right now. Now's the time to be out getting it done.
So with no, food yeah, plots, though, yeah. So, you guys have not touched base on. Being the food plot gurus that you are,
I wouldn't call me. I wouldn't call myself that, a guru.
Well, you guys are talking like you are. I'm learning a lot just sitting here listening to y'all.
Dude, a lot of
hell,
it is trial
talk,
and error.
We could talk for
right?
four more hours about you guys talking about food plot.
Trial and error.
But
trial
I'm telling you right now,
it takes a lot of 30 packs too.
What 30 packs of seed?
Definitely.
So anyway, we're talking about food plots, perennials and annuals. Now, are you talking like perennials? You have to plant them once for 5 years. Is that correct?
It depends on what you're planting.
Three to five.
3 to 5.
So why don't more people just do the perennials, hammer it out, get it done right the first time, and let it grow for 3 to 5 years?
Attractant. Some guys are just trying to kill a deer, dude.
And mix it up.
Listen, if you're trying to kill a deer in mid to late season, you want rape, you want brassicas, you want things after the killing frost where the leaves turn to sugars and the deer are going to eat. You do not want clover because you're not going to have, the bucks aren't going to come into the clover fields and hammer the clover.
So it's all about the season. It's all about the season. So that's why you don't want
to
plant.
And it depends on what you're trying to do with your property. Perennials are a good thing all season long. Well, I don't want to say all season, but early season, promote antler growth. After a certain point, it's like soybeans. You can have soybeans. Deer will go in early and eat soybeans. They will get to a point where the deer will leave the soybeans and won't come back to them until the pods open up. They'll leave them alone. I mean, that's the general. Same way with corn. You know, corn's the same type of deal. Deer will eat it when it's available, when it's ripe for them. But when the acorns fall, the deer will leave whatever food you have planted, and they will go and eat acorns. They are programmed to do that, man. They've been doing it for thousands of years, and that's just how it is.
Believe me, I know that. Filled with oak trees, so whenever both ridges drop, it's so hard to hunt deer. But I don't have any food plants on our property. It's mostly open ground, or I'm sorry, mountain ground. I can't open anything up due to I don't own it. The landowner and his wife do not want me to cut down any trees, plow anything out.
But you don't have to. That's and then listen.
We have logging roads on our property, which I did open up a little bit of a logging road. I did plant brassica, and it did okay. I'm not gonna say it did well, it did okay, but I didn't put any lime in. I was new to it, like you said, trial and error. It was my first time planting a plot, so it did come up. It ultimately got overtaken by ferns. I think it was the next year, the whole plot got taken over by ferns, and kind of quit on that because it was just there were so many oaks dropping every year that it wasn't worth me putting a food plot in. But I can see your point now in saying that later on in the year to plant different things after the oaks drop. Maybe that's where I should focus on my property, is planting stuff that may be produced later in the year rather than early season and archery season. Might work out for me.
Well, you have to think, late season, deer are at the point where all they have to eat is browse, unless there's available crops still standing, which sometimes you'll have corn standing late in the year. There was a lot of corn last year standing late, I noticed, in some of the areas I hunted. Farmers just... And honestly, the biggest thing is, if you know your property, take time, walk your property. This is stuff I'm learning, and you know, people will disagree with me. If you take time and walk your property, one of the things I look for openings in the canopy, which is where you have some junk trees that are growing up that aren't that tall. They're not overshaded by other trees, where you can actually see, you know, you're walking through and you see these patches of grass or you see patches of sunlight that are there most of the day. Spray some Roundup on that, man. Get rid of the stuff that's in there. Till it up. Spray it again with some Roundup and try to plant something there. I mean, the biggest key is sunlight, because what will happen is if there's not sunlight there, it's getting overcrowded. It's not going to grow. If you can't do a soil sample... That's what I do. If you can't
cut them down,
man, well, yeah, unless you have a logger, man. I mean, get in there and cut that stuff down. But a lot of it is a big thing is get a soil sample. There's local labs that'll do it. I know you can get it done really cheap. It's not expensive at all to get a soil. Most, if I'm not mistaken, don't most feed mills do? I'm gonna give it to Rob. Or, no, Rob has
Brother Roy.
Yeah.
Brother Roy. You have the mic
most
again.
Most feed mills do soil samples. Penn State does them too. I've never looked that up, and I think it might be free. It might just be like shipping and whatnot. Yeah. I think I've heard that. I'm not sure.
Worth looking into.
We send everything to the Whitetail Institute, but we're planting their seeds, so we go with them for soil samples, and they're always done good to us, and definitely do the soil samples.
Yeah.
You're stupid not to. You're just wasting money.
Don't be
a lot.
Don't be a dummy. So, yeah, food plots, land management, all the stuff that we've been talking about for the past 15 minutes will be a recurring theme.
Hey, did you hear that? That mushroom popping out there in the woods. Oh. I heard it. There was another one. There's another.
You can hear him. So, yeah, Brother Roy, food plots, land management, morales, all that stuff will be a recurring theme for us over the next few podcasts. So tune back in for that. We got a couple minutes left. Let's
We didn't touch base. Let's quickly touch base on the Irish. Mike was out there.
Well,
I'm going to lead into that.
I want to end.
You're going to lead
so
into
people
it?
People can come back to it. Yeah, I'm going to lead into it. So I'm going to give a very rare plug. Yeah, I'm going to give a very quick rare plug for PowerBait. It's going to sound kind of strange. A lot of people are kind of biased about PowerBait. For the sole purpose of this, I took my son out to Potter County camping. Went up for 4 days fish camping. He's five. Took him out. And we used waxworms. We used mealworms. We used a little bit of everything. PowerBait was the only thing that they were biting on. So get them out. PowerBait's working for little ones. If you want to catch them, a good use of PowerBait. PowerBait is, they have a floating kind. Get that if you're fishing rivers. It floats right along the top. Slow holes. Do that kind of stuff. But leading into what we're going to talk about with PA Rep Mike, the event he was at this past weekend, which is our wish of Central Pennsylvania.
Yes, correct? Yes,
I'll,
yes.
I'll let you explain, but it's a impressive.
This past weekend we had our wish of Central Pennsylvania for terminally ill children and their families. We had a fishing event on Raystown. I think there was 19 families, and I'll tell you what, it was just an amazing time. The weather was beautiful. The water temperatures on the lake was warm. The fish weren't up on bed, so they were actually biting this time, not just seeing these giant fish and not being able to catch them. And I had the privilege of being able to take out two different people, two different families, and you know, we caught some fish and just real quick, the kid I had on Sunday, his name was Dean. I had fished with him and his dad probably 4 years ago, and we didn't catch a fish 4 years ago. It was just a tough bite, and the fish were all spawning. They were on beds, and they just weren't cooperating. But Dean's sister had cancer, and she's in remission right now, but their family had been back. This is their fifth or sixth year back on being with these organization, and we're out fishing, and his dad starts talking to me and telling me, you know, Dean's been having some problems in his young life, and hasn't been in school for the past 2 years, and just a lot of struggles, and hasn't left his mom or his dad's side in a year. Well, at one point during the weekend, or on Sunday actually, some other kids were fishing in the pond over by the H launch at Raystown, and I was like, Dean, man, why don't you come with me? And he actually left his parents and actually came with me, and we were hanging out, and the whole premise of this whole weekend is for people to be able to forget about all the struggles of the realities of my child has a terminal illness and they might not be here. And the kid was able to be a kid again. And I let him drive my boat, and there was actually a picture. If you go to my PA Rep Mike on Facebook page, I will upload all these pictures from this past weekend. But I let him drive my boat. So this, you know, you got this little dude who's like 8 years old, 9 years old, and he's driving a bass boat on Raystown, and like just life was good. So it was actually pretty cool. But great turnout, great cause. Families had a great time, and I'll tell you what, a lot of friendships were made, and you know, some kids got a break from the realities of something that's unfair to them in their lives.
That's good. I'm glad you were a part of that, and that's a great thing. And awesome thing that Raystown does, the Game Commission, the Fish Commission, our Wish Foundation, and you personally. We appreciate yes. that. As PA Rut Report, we want to touch base on, real quick, the youth event coming up at Tyrone Sportsman's Club. We'll have more details on that when it comes forth. Robbie, do you want to say anything real quick before I close out?
In regards to the youth event at the Tyrone Sportsman's Club, it is a good local thing. If you're around that area, get your kids out there. They get to do a lot of stuff that they may otherwise never experience. You get to fish, you get to shoot, you get to learn about taxidermy, you get to learn about calling in turkeys. You do probably 7 or 8 different stations that are all specific to the outdoors. If you have a kid in there, you want them to get interested, look that up. In closing, we have a new version of our website coming out. A lot of what we talk about on the podcast, if you have questions or just want to get in touch with us, go to parutreport.com. There's a form on the Contact Us page. You can just shoot us questions, topics that you'd like to hear in upcoming podcasts, and continue to check it out. We're going to try to do it once a week through the entirety of the year until we have to stop. So. Okay. Thanks for listening. We have 3 episodes prior to this one. This is episode 4. If you get a chance, listen to 1, 2, and 3. And like I said, let us know what you think of it. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PA Rut Report. And yeah, listen to the next one.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening in. If you are fishing, check out JunietaTroutFitters.com. Hunga Munga Broadheads.
Scared
Fishless. It's hungamunga.com. Scared Fishless. They're on Facebook. Facebook.com/Scared Fishless.
Brother Roy's Morels.com.
Brother Roy's Morels. He should start a Facebook page or a .com, but he don't have one yet. Thank you all for tuning in. We enjoy it, hopefully as much as you do. Thank you very much.
Catch you next week. Oxidation is the compromise you own. But this is beginning to feel like the dog wants a bone.